This is Greg. I'm going to go ahead and get us started. Again, I'll make a call out because I still hear, I think, one phone at least that has some background noise going in it. So if you got your speakerphone on, please mute. Again, this is Greg Roger from the ICANN staff. I'm the chief security advisor for ICANN, certainly working in the new GTLD area across the ICANN staff, and I'm going to go into who those people are on this call here in a moment, was the lead for addressing the overarching issue in the new GTLD program related to malicious conduct. This call is to cover one of the proposals made by ICANN leading up to the Seoul meeting, which was the issuance of a concept paper related to a high security TLD verification program. We'll go into that in some depth during the course of this call, as well as talk about, you know, how we're going to work this working group going forward. I had mentioned haltingly in a little bit ago that we did issue an agenda for this meeting. It came out on the mailing list for the meeting, and it's fairly detailed, so I'm not going to go over it point by point, but I'm going to hit the major headings just so that everybody knows what we're going to cover. There'll be an opportunity in the front end of this call to see if we're missing something. So the first portion of the call will be dedicated to just letting everybody know who's signed up and participating on the call and as part of the advisory group. Then we're going to talk about what sorts of background and communications resources, you know, are available, just basically ensuring that everybody that's participating has the key, you know, the key substantive elements available to them that are the basis for this technical expert advisory group. Then I will guide a discussion of the goals and the objectives of the group. I'm going to be assisted in this by Andy Welch, who works with ICANN from KPMG. He was the guy who helped us draft the initial concept paper and has been involved with this from the start. So at certain portions of this call, I'm going to have Andy go over some of the materials. And Andy will go over, when we get to the portion of the agenda that deals with next steps, Andy's going to be the principal staff person helping support this in terms of implementation and administration. And we'll leave some time for questions at the end. So that's the broad overview of the agenda. I did want to start off by introducing the ICANN team on the call, and there's quite a number of the ICANN staff on the call. So in addition to myself and Andy Welch, again, who's supporting us from KPMG, we have Jeff Bickers, who works with me as the Director of Security Operations for ICANN, but also in the lead-up to the Seoul meeting was the principal staff member working with the community, you know, to solicit and address the comments that for all the comments related to the malicious conduct area in the new GTLD comment period, and therefore was very much involved with this effort in particular. We have Dave Piscatello, who's a chief security technologist, works with the SSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and much of that work has been focused on issues related to malicious abuse and steps that can be taken at the registry and registrar level to deal with those issues. So Dave will be very much involved with the forward-going efforts in this area. Kurt Pritz, I think probably many on the call, certainly from the registries, know Kurt very well, our Senior Vice President for Services, as well as Craig Schwartz, our Chief, Craig, I'm going to get this wrong, but the Chief Registry Liaison for ICANN. Dan Halloran, Dan, are you on?
I haven't seen Dan join yet.
Okay, all right, so we'll hopefully Dan Halloran from our legal office would join. And then I have Kim Davies on the participant list. Craig, have we seen Kim on yet?
Kim is on.
Okay. Yeah. So Kim, yep. Kim Davies from IANA. David Giza. David, you on?
I'm on the call.
Yep. David Giza, in charge of ICANN's compliance program, and Francisco Arias, who also works in services with Craig and Kurt. I think that covers the ICANN staff. Craig, I'm going to turn it over to you to go through the to make a roll call of the other participants on this call.
Sure. I do think we have one additional ICANN person, and that I think Mark McFadden may have joined the call. Mark, are you there?
I'm on.
Okay.
Okay.
So reading down the volunteer list, and since I already provided everyone's affiliation along with their name, I won't read their affiliation name again, but Steve Holston?
Yes.
Okay, Steve. Tony Holmes? Is that a yes, Tony?
Is that a yes, Tony?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Mike O'Connor?
Mike O'Connor.
Great. Great. Adam Palmer?
Yes.
David Maher?
Here.
Thanks, David. Ching Chow?
I'm here.
Thanks, Ching. John Levine?
I'm here.
Evan Leibovich?
Present.
John McElwain?
Here.
Hector Manoff? Hector Manoff?
Hector Manoff?
Okay. Eric Brown?
Eric Brown?
Not here.
Brian Cute?
Here.
Is everyone on the line hearing an echo of everything I say?
Yes.
I am Craig.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just pointing that to the operator to see if she can give us some assistance around that. Paul Stohura?
Present.
Lynn Goodendorf?
Here.
Neil Warner?
Here.
Sean Shen?
Yes, I'm here.
Rude? Sorry, Rude, I can't get your last name. We'll come back to you. John Christoph?
Yes, hello, everyone.
Andy Steingrubel?
Yep, here.
Christoph Rivert?
Present.
Thank you. Jonathan Frakes?
Present.
Jay Daly? Jeff Schmidt?
Present.
Thanks, Jeff. Frank Martin? Michael Barrett?
He's on a plane.
Okay, thanks for that. Joe St. Sauve?
This is Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Paul, is it Smocher or Smoker, Paul?
Well, it's actually neither. It's Smoser, but I'm here.
Smoser's here. Luis Munoz? And Michael Pelage?
Here.
Thanks, Michael. Greg, that is the full roll call of the list.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. On the agenda, this is the time where we had set aside to allow those on the call to offer up that there might be any amendments to the agenda before we plunged into it. So, again, assuming that most people on the call got a copy of it, does anybody on the call have any major items that they think we must cover on this initial call? I'll give about 30 seconds for anybody to speak up.
This is Evan Leibovich. It has nothing to do with the agenda so much as finding out if there's anybody here that's in the Adobe room.
Hey, Evan, when the revised agenda was sent out, I believe Monday morning, there was a note included that there'd be no Adobe on this very first call.
Okay, because there's
so
okay.
Yeah, but actually, thanks for bringing that up, Evan. This is Greg. While we're not using it on this call, you know, we do have an Adobe Connect room available to support this working group, and I do envision going forward that there'll be quite a bit of use of that to present different materials and to, you know, effectively, you know, just have the group look at things like PowerPoint presentations. So we'll identify that more clearly as we put the materials out for each one of the forward-going calls. So, not hearing any other issues related to the agenda, I'm going to now turn it to Andy Welch. The next item on the agenda is a review of you know, kind of background materials and the communications resources that will be used to support this working group. And Andy, I assume that you're ready to cover those portions of the agenda.
Yep. Yeah, Greg, thanks very much for the intro. Hi, everybody. My name is Andy Welch, as Greg had mentioned. And can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So we've separated out the material into two sections, and you can refer to the agenda, please, for the two sections. First is background material, and next is a key communications resource. So I'll take just a minute to talk about the background material. And there are two real sort of artifacts that cover background for the high security zone concept, and that's what it is at this point, a concept. The first is the original concept paper that was published early in October, and you can see the link on the agenda. This concept paper really was sort of an initial, does this concept make sense paper, and we structured the paper to sort of give what a high security zone program might look like and the major components of what a high security zone effort might entail. So I'd ask you to have a quick look at that concept paper if you haven't already. There's some interesting information in there, and it will serve, if the program goes forward, will serve sort of as informational background for how we structure the program. The second is briefing document. The briefing document, as you can see from the time of its publication, was published after the concept paper, and it's meant to be a smaller, more concise view of exactly what the program is trying to accomplish. Again, it's based a little bit or loosely on the concept paper, and that is also available for review. The other key component of what we're trying to get out to the group today, and probably the most key component from a communications perspective, are the communication resources. And we just had a quick little dialogue about Adobe Connect. That's one of four main communication channels that we've set up in addition to these ongoing calls that we'll be holding. All of you, I believe, are part of the email address group. That's the first one that we've listed on the agenda. If you are not, please respond back to us to ask to be added to the email address link. All of the group materials and the group calls and group organizational activities will be distributed via the email address group. It's currently hscld-ag@icann.org, and we can get that out to you separately if you need a direct link. We also have a public mailing list archive that's available. It's mm.icann.org/hypermail/hscld-ag. Adobe Connect we have as well, although we're not using that for this call. As Greg had mentioned, we do view that as being very instrumental going forward as we're distributing material for consumption and or dialogue. And finally, all materials will be posted at www.icann.org/en/topics/new-gtlds/hscld-program-en.htm, and that's a mouthful. So if you don't have that on the agenda, please get back to us, and we can give you the direct link so that you can get access. Those are the overview background materials and the key communications resources that we'll be using. And again, if anyone doesn't have that list, please let us know so that we can get it to you so that you can have all of the channels put together for the program. Greg, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Andy. So the next major item on the agenda is to go over the goals and the objectives of this group. My intent here is to try to really do this in a fairly broad fashion for the next probably, 10 minutes or so. We have 20 minutes on the agenda. We're a little bit behind, but not badly, leaving a little bit of time to discuss what I've said about goals and objectives. I am going to probably try to cap that pretty closely at about 40 minutes after the hour so we can finish off the remaining two items on the agenda. The other thing that I do plan to do, and again, I do this with a little bit of trepidation, but begin the dialogue about the public comment we've received on the initiation of this working group, or I guess maybe more broadly, the notion that we tabled about this program through the concept paper, just to to acknowledge that we have received a lot of public comment, and it ranges a pretty broad spectrum, as I'll describe. So those are my main intent here for this section. I think it's probably best to start with, you know, the origins of, you know, why we issued a concept paper on this back in October. I think most on the call, maybe not all, are aware that, you know, ICANN, as it pursues the potential implementation of a new GTLD program, you know, has a process called the Draft Applicant Guidebook that will, you know, guide how, you know, one, the obligations of an applicant for a new registry and, you know, the process for doing that, and that as we've iterated that draft applicant guidebook, there's been four overarching issues identified that needed to be addressed. One of those issues is how to address the potential for increased malicious conduct. With that kind of bound around comment, you know, we ran a series of consultations and received comment across a wide range of things and suggested a series of mitigation measures, many of which were built into the draft applicant guidebook version 3. But a strong set of comment that we received, you know, moving into the fall of this year, you know, towards the sole meeting and the issuance of draft applicant guidebook 3, had to do with in certain situations, registries are clearly going to be targeted by malicious conduct. So registries that operate in the financial services realm, you know, others that are the natural target for those who are conducting malicious conduct now will likely target, you know, these new registries in certain areas, and that there needed to be, you know, a strong set of controls around the creation of such a registry. And I think it's fair to say that we received very strong comment and, you know, advice about what would constitute those set of controls from a variety of banking and finance-related organizations, at least one of which is represented on this call today, as well as, you know, the broader anti-phishing and malicious, you know, conduct response community, ranging from, you know, organizations that support trademark as well as malicious conduct concerns in terms of phishing, the law enforcement community, the computer emergency response community, all also validated the notion that certain new registries would be, or certain new zones would be the target of malicious conduct. So we, you know, deliberated on the comment, certainly took on board the notion that a set of controls could be put in place around a new zone and the operating registry for that zone, and decided that the way to push the concept forward would be to make this a voluntary, you know, program, and therefore not mandatory for every new zone and new registry, because there'd be certain portions of new GTLDs or certain types of new GTLDs that really would not be implicated as deeply in a security sense, but wanted to have a strong program available to both registries, but also communities such as banking and finance, that would provide some visibility into the registries in that type of operation, having met some sort of criteria that would be related to security, and that would be well vetted and visible. So that was really, you know, the kind of the origins. We put together the concept paper. Again, many of the ICANN staff and the support we've had from Andy Welch, you know, really with a team that built that paper and issued it along with the draft applicant guidebook. What is envisioned, you know, in that paper, and certainly as the core, you know, from the ICANN perspective in initiating this technical expert advisory group, is a multi-stakeholder vetting of the concept of a voluntary high security zone verification. It is not necessarily envisioned, as I'll probably say a few times to make clear, that this is operated from the ICANN staff. ICANN's role in the implementation of such a concept is something to be determined as we move forward with the concept. We thought it was crucial to put this concept out and have, you know, all of the stakeholders Clearly those who, made comment that resulted in the concept paper, but have continued to comment on the draft, on the concept paper about the need for such a notion, as well as those who might have to implement such a, or may try to implement such a concept and the operational expertise of registries and registrars that work in this area in the viability of different implementation approaches. I see that there's really, likely two major elements of the dialogue that will go on, which is, the actual operational approach to the concept, what sort of controls, how are they implemented, as well as the governance and kind of how do you organize this sort of effort and what's the right model for a verification program in the, the registry TLD space. I think both will have to be addressed. I'm not going to go into exactly how the group, organizes that dialogue, because we do believe that this should be a stakeholder-driven approach. And later in the call, we're going to ask for people to volunteer to be co-chairs of this group. Our desire is not to drive this group from the ICANN staff, but is to have members of the community, in this case two, co-chair the effort. We will continue to support the effort in terms of organizing it, assist the chairs in the group with any sort of drafting of materials, et cetera, but my basic concept is this really needs to be led by community stakeholders and not driven by myself or any of the rest of the ICANN staff. With that, I guess one final comment, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about what I hope to achieve, what I think we're hoping to achieve in terms of timelines and deliverables out of the group. But is that this should build off existing, programs that validate, security practices, both in the, registry operations space as well as more broadly, issues about, certifying that you're using public key encryption systems or other sorts of control systems. Well, there's a lot of well-developed work in this area that needs to be, looked at and just, vetted for implementation as part of a program in my mind, as well as that there's a number of different models both to organize this in terms of, who's in control of such a program, who sets the standards, how are verifications issued. We also want to ensure that we've looked at the wide variety of approaches to running such a program. So with that, I'm going to just briefly mention that, we have a concept paper, as Andy mentioned. I do think, for those participating in the group, reading that concept paper, which is, was our best effort to put something in on the table that would be the basis for, further exploration and in the deliberations of a group such as this, is a, the kind of foundational substantive piece that everybody should be working from. But I'm hoping that, we organize the working group around, progress sufficiently prior to the next ICANN meeting, which is scheduled to be in Nairobi, I think in the second week of March, so that the group would issue, at least a highly developed concept paper for how such a program would be both organized, preferably also get into, the draft version of the proposed controls, and as much as possible, implementation approaches to those controls. I don't want to get too far down the road about, the content of the next version of the, the proposal. Certainly we have to vet the notion of the proposal itself, let alone, how much it gets developed by the working group. But certainly the rhythm for bringing this to the rest of the community would be to, to create the next version of how this program would work and provide that to the community for comment prior to the Nairobi meeting, and then use the Nairobi meeting as a venue for discussing, the next stage of this. I also do think that we will have to, do the deliberations in the next 2 to 3 months, also make sure that we are adequately informing the community about those deliberations and certainly allowed the participants to work with us on this. I guess I'm using this as a place to say also that, you know, the membership of this group is not closed at this point, and if additional people, you know, volunteer to be members of this group, I believe we will continue to add them to the group. So I did want to then quickly comment on the nature of the public comment that we've already received. So it really has at least two dimensions. There is we have received some comment that says, pursuing this notion may not even be within the mandate of ICANN and may not be best pursued by ICANN. I will say that the direction to me is that it's part of ICANN's effort to implement the new GTLD program, and that we have received, community comment about the viability of this concept. We thought it was important to continue the working group, at least to allow the community to dialogue about both the viability of the concept and then how to implement it. We've also received, very numerous comments that the notion of high security zones is a very strong one, and there's more than a handful of comments that says this should be a mandatory program for all new GTLDs, as well as that this program should impact the scoring of new GTLDs. What we do plan to do is we've started the synthesis of all the comments we've received on the high security zone program. I think that this should be, maybe the first major agenda item of the next call of this group is getting that out to everybody in preparation for the call, and then a discussion of the comment that has been received. Certainly, one of the comments we did get was that we needed to process the comment that we had received, and we just hadn't been able to do that before we initiated the group. I thought it was important to get at least the group together and start the effort before we got deeply into the holiday season. I'm going to have Andy describe in the next steps portion of the agenda, our plan for a next call. So with that, I think I'm going to close talking for this portion of the agenda. We probably have 5 minutes, maybe a little bit less, in case anybody has any major burning comments that in response to what I laid out as goals and objectives for the group.
Hey, Greg, this is Andy from PayPal. The one thing that I think would really help, actually, is clarification on the name. It seems like there are several different goals we're trying. Is everybody else getting an echo?
Yeah, I'm getting an echo.
Yeah.
Weird.
I am too.
Usually my phone's fine. Maybe it's my headset. So the name High Security, it's not clear who that security is for. Whether it's for, this seems to tackle several different problems. That of end user trust in a given new TLD, and or a registrant's trust that the registry and registrar are actually going to do a good job. And what's the real point? What's the real goal? Because then. Security means a lot of different things, and so I've read the overview here, and fairly familiar with the concept. There have been public proposals for specific high verification TLDs in the past, but it's sort of like there's three or four different things going on, right? Registry and registrar security, who actually gets to be in a given TLD, what kind of vetting happens, and then end user security assumptions or features for that TLD, and are we really talking about all of those several things bundled into this one concept?
Greg, before you respond, could the gentleman who just asked that question please restate your name?
I'm sorry, this is Andy Steingruble from PayPal.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy.
Andy, to be direct, I think it is potentially trying to address all those layers. It's certainly trying to address concerns that were raised about the nature of the operators who are, working in a zone that is going to be clearly targeted by malicious conduct. It may be in an industry or a community where those if those operators are not, you know, properly trusted, that that has issues for the community as a whole. It is about, you know, the nature of those operations and the trust, you know, that a registrant who's choosing between potential, you know, TLD providers for domains, that this would allow, you know, the market to sort out a little bit about, or to sort out, you know, which ones had been vetted in terms of controls. And it is intended to, you know, address the users of zones such as a financial services zone, you know, hopefully if implemented properly, you know, a reason to trust the operations in a given zone more than others. Because, you know, in my mind, all three of those things are highly interrelated. It's hard to achieve one, you know, one of those without the other two. Well, I guess you can't achieve the third, user trust, unless you have the first two. So maybe at the end of the day, Andy, it is about the last one, but the first two are really just mechanisms to get to the last one. And if you read the concept paper, you know, user trust is a kind of at the core, the overall objective to this. But I think concur with the notion that's a stretch goal, or, you know, one that you know, organizing a program to do has a lot of work, you know, that will have to take place. But I don't know if that's I'm not sure that's the answer you might have expected, but I do think it is trying to take on most of what you said. I think it's up to the working group if that's overreaching or too complex, and maybe we need to be clearer about specific objectives. I'd certainly take that on board.
Yeah, I mean, my perception is that tackling the security of registrars and registries is pretty clearly within mandate of ICANN, and worrying about end-user marketing of TLDs as being more or less secure, I think stretches to the point of almost nonsensical, and is something better left to browser manufacturers and I don't know, certificate issuers or something like that. I'm just not sure that that's really the point of ICANN, but maybe that's just me.
How could I get in the queue to save it, Maher?
Mike Plage in the queue as well, who's ever keeping the queue track.
All right, Craig, do that. And again, I ask everybody, and I should inflict this first upon myself and my answers, or anybody else who engages in the dialogue. We've probably got about 5 minutes for questions. So we've got two people in the queue. Let's make sure that we know how many others that might want to get in the queue. We're probably not going to be able to get much more than one or two more.
Jonathan Frakes in the queue, please.
Evan Leibovitz.
All right. Given that, Craig, I'd like to tap the queue at that. I'd like everybody to try to be quick, and I may not even respond. It might just be a matter of just making sure that everybody's got an opportunity to get their concerns on the table, because in the interest of time, we're going to have to press on in the agenda in about five. So,
sure.
Craig, can you remind me who's first?
Yeah, David Maher, please.
Hi. It's David Maher, chair of the registry stakeholder group. The stakeholder group filed extensive comments on the cybersecurity zone proposal. It's included in our comments on the draft applicant guidebook version 3. And I think this whole proceeding is putting the cart before the horse. Some of the issues that we raised were discussed in today's teleconference, but it seems to me that ICANN should respond to the carefully drawn comments that have already been filed before just plunging into a new working group. So I won't pursue that, but I do believe that should be brought to ICANN's attention.
Thanks, David. Michael Plage, you are next in the queue.
Thank you, Craig. I do want to follow support Andy's comments about the, shall we say, overly aggressive or perhaps overly broad mandate of what we're talking here. I mean, just talking about registrant verification, you know, Greg, the ICANN community has been dealing for over a decade with who is accuracy. So I think that should give us some pause here as to what can be reasonably implemented between now and Nairobi, or perhaps between now and the launch of the new GTLD process. And just one other point in my 15 remaining seconds. You know, we talk a lot about financial security zones, but when you look at potential fraud, you know, I've read several articles this week where social networks are a potential source of fraud. So, again, I think we need to really look at Andy's comments about, you know, how this is potentially marketed and what is and is not within ICANN's scope. So that's it.
Thanks, Michael. Jonathan Frakes, you were next in line.
Oh, hi. I'll be really quick. You know, perhaps is, you know, I kind of resonate what the previous speakers had said, but you know, is maybe the vision of what this group might achieve something along the lines of like an SAS 70, you know, type 1 and type 2 type of a certification thing for registries, maybe like the ISO 27000 labeling. You know, people maybe are following the NIST standards for how to do things. Is that kind of the vision? It's a little bit more of a question, I suppose, to the group, but
Certainly leveraging those sorts of programs and applying them to the context of, you know, a TLD and the operations of registries and registrars in that is kind of core notion. And the concept paper mentions those sorts of existing programs and how they would intersect with this, notionally, specifically. So I think the answer to that is very much yes. And, you know, I do think to the previous two or three comments about scope, you know, I think one of the first stages of the effort of the working group needs to clearly define kind of, you know, objective in terms of how deeply reaching is the intended impact. Again, I know that there's people on the call, and we may not get them all in the queue today, that, you know, there's a wide variety of perspectives about, you know, what we're trying to achieve through the program, and we need to get those all on the table and work through them. And then, Craig, I think there was one more person on the in the queue.
Yeah, that's Evan Leibovich.
Hi there. I'll defer because Jonathan pretty well asked what I wanted to. I would also just make a suggestion that since it seems one of the overreaching goals of this is to increase public confidence, that as the only person here from at large, I feel a little bit weird in flying that flag alone.
Evan, it's Greg. Again, the working group composition is not closed, and it is supposed to be a multi-stakeholder group. So, you know, there's a limit to, you know, there's a limit in terms of effectiveness to, you know, groups getting too big. But if there's others that you believe would be usefully, you know, provide those perspectives, I encourage you to get those people engaged.
Yeah, good talk.
Okay, with that, I am going to turn it over to Andy Welch for a discussion of next steps. And it looks like we have a little less than 15 minutes left on the call.
Great. Thanks, Greg. So I'll keep this, Greg, I'll try to keep this to about 5-10 minutes so that we can have a little bit of QA at the end. Is that appropriate?
I think that's right.
Okay, great. So we've listed three sort of bullet items as next steps to the group. The first is that we're going to have a regularly scheduled meeting series coming up beginning 6th January. So everyone sort of please note that on your calendars. Through the email chain, we'll update you with the chain of assembly that we'd like to throw together. By next meeting, we have several key things that we want to do. First, we're going to deliver some public commentary to the group so that you can all sort of see who's saying what and what's out there. In a packaged format. Second, what we'd like to move forward with is the identification of two volunteers to co-chair the group. So to achieve that second goal, what we're asking the group is if you're interested in taking up a co-chair position to the group, please respond to us by the end of this week with your intent or your desire to be a co-chair. I think the best way to mechanically get that volunteer list going is to respond directly to the email group that you're interested in the co-chair position, and sort of a brief on what your perspective is and why you'd like to be considered for co-chair. We're hoping to announce the co-chair, the two co-chairs, on next meeting. So be aware that we're going to deliver. We're asking for those people this week, or the people who'd like to be that position this week, and we'll deliver that on 6th January meeting. So we're really delivering two things: the public commentary sort of synopsis and the co-chairs. The next piece that I'd like to talk to is very quickly program task development. We've had some excellent questions sort of about the program already. One of the key things that we need to do is to really take a look at the program itself and decide, you know, if we're going to go forward, if we're going to take this concept and make it more from draft or from concept into reality, what do we need to focus on? And the concept now really is sort of a blueprint, if you will. It has three sections: an executive summary, it has a positioning area, and then sort of the elements of what a program might have. And the elements section is really the section that needs to have lots and lots of attention brought to it if it's going to be moved from concept to reality. And in that section, there's sections on the requirements and standards, and we get into principles, objectives, sample criteria. That's sort of how we might, or what controls we might want to put in place, what principles are important to achieve a better level of control within the TLDs. It talks about assessment methods, frequency of assessment, qualifications of the assessors, and so forth. So that section really is the section where we've introduced some thoughts and some maybe this is how it works concepts, but we'll need to do much more significant focus on bringing that section forward. One of the very interesting comments that we've heard is, does it overlap with some existing standards? And in fact, I think one of the questions just a minute or two talked about ISO standards, NIST standards, and SAS 70 and the like. And the initial answer to that is, yeah, there is actually, by design, some level of overlap. And the thinking and development on that very quickly was, what we'd like to do is put down the requirements or the overall principles for how we better build security into a TLD. Once we've established those and baked those out, we can then see if there's a mapping onto existing programs that are out there. So that's sort of by design. The intent is there will be some overlap, and where there is, we could potentially say things like, to achieve this particular principle, if your organization is already doing these activities, you can say that and you've covered the principle, for instance. That sort of was the idea behind that stage of development. So finally, we get into the administrative practices and the seal and sort of the mechanics for how this thing might be reflected to the community. And that's sort of a longer-term section. This is where we would potentially get into things like having an authoritative list of who is certified, who is not certified, that could be used as basis for proof within tools like browsers and so forth. So all of those things would need development and focus as we go forward, and the working group would be assembled to take a look at slices of those individual areas to actually take them from concept and make them implementable, if you will. And that's sort of the overall goal of where we're trying to go. We will not get through that effort by Nairobi. I don't think it's I don't think that's a good and reasonable goal for us to shoot for, nor do I think it's achievable. But I think we will have progress against answering, does this look like it's an area that we want to go forward with? What is sort of the timeline? How do we get this program and the components focused on and improved? And Greg, I don't know if you want to add anything more to that, but I think that I do want to set reasonable goals. I don't think anyone's saying that, you know, by Nairobi we'll have this thing answered and moved forward. I think we've got a lot of development that needs to occur particularly around the, you know, how does this work, how does the mechanics of the group work, and what is our overall timeline?
And the only, you know, echo that I agree with you, and if I, you know, implied a broader, you know, or a more aggressive notion in my comments, I do think we need to be realistic and take Michael's comments on board as well. You know, really, the first stage is just to vet the viability of the concept, and then certainly, like you say, to flesh out how we would proceed in, you know, maturing the concept and do as, you know, go as far as we can. But I do think that engaging the community and, you know, and making sure that we use that opportunity at Nairobi to take the to make an output from the working group to allow for deliberation at Nairobi, I think that was the notion I was trying to lay on the table in terms of timeline, because even that comes pretty quickly. And so really, after we get going again after the New Year's, we really have, you know, 2 months or so to make the first stage of progress. So I'll leave it at that. The other thing I wanted to reinforce that Andy mentioned is the notion of having, you know, community co-chairs. You know, this group select two co-chairs, and therefore the first stage of that is for those on the call who are interested in co-chairing the group, you know, to identify yourselves. And then I believe that a major agenda item at the start of the next meeting should be, and we can do, I intend that some of this will occur, dialogue will occur through email, the process by which co-chairs will be selected. But I'd like to see if we can achieve that at the initiation of the next meeting. So with that, I am going to open it up with the remaining time for additional questions and comments. My gut feel is there might be enough of that to just put people in a queue and allow them to identify concerns or issues and get those on the record, which we can then put out to the group as a whole as items that we need to address as a group going into the next call, instead of trying to grapple with a dialogue right now with, you know, 5 or so minutes remaining. So the floor is open. Those who want to identify that they have something to raise, please speak up. And, Craig, if you could just keep the list again.
Sure.
Wow. Okay. So wow. Some of them, I'm not going to prolong the call at this point because the intent of this call was really just to get started. To, you know, open up the dialogue about what this working group should be and, you know, the staff's intent at this point in initiating the working group. So hopefully we've accomplished that. Okay, I'm going to pause one last time to see if anybody has anything else that they want to address at this point.
Yes, so I just would like to remind everybody that if they like to ask a question, they need to press star followed by one. The Q&A session is now open.
So this is right. I didn't press star one.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So I want to reiterate or suggest that as we move forward, there's two aspects of this, right? What are the technical aspects and mechanics of this process so that we verify it could work, be effective, and meet the objectives. But the other part, the other important part is administration. You know, who's gonna run it? How's it going to be operated? How's it going to be funded? And, you know, how's it going to interact with other security efforts that are going on in the marketplace? And I think that both those efforts can be run in parallel. We don't need to figure out all the technical aspects of the program before we can start talking about the administration. And two is that we should treat it as somewhat of a distinct deliverable because it has been raised in the public comment as a key issue.
Kurt, that's better put than I tried to cover it earlier in the call, but I see the same, you know, two tiers of dialogue that need to go on, and they need to go on in parallel. My opinion is they should go on in parallel.
This is Steve Holston chiming in. In addition to those two things, which I think probably could proceed in parallel, do you also want to have as an initial step, you've mentioned testing the viability of the concept in the first place, and you heard David Maher's comment regarding what the registry's constituency has stated. Is there an initial step before you even start talking about the technical and operational aspect or the administrative piece that that tests among the group the viability first and foremost?
Yeah, this is Greg, and my words may or may not have been ill-chosen. Maybe we can start the next call, but we've had strong input, and we've received strong input, as you'll see when you get the synopsis of comments, that the concept should be explored. While we've also received comments that may not be appropriate, I think as a technical expert advisory group, this group is focused on, responding to the portion of the community that says we should explore this, and, not the broader question of whether that exploration is appropriate or not. Now, there are other mechanisms within ICANN to have the other, the dialogue about, the nature of opening a group, but I'm hesitant to have a long dialogue in this group about whether we should be having the group or not. It just seems like we might waste a lot of people's time. And Kurt, I don't know what your take on that is, but I'd like to get it.
Hi, this is Sean. I have a question. I have a question about the scope of this working group. Will the verification program target include only the GTLDs or other TLDs like CCTLDs?
I'll answer that one quickly. The concept paper was written very broadly, which is just this could be applied to any TLD, existing, new, CC, G, Now, whether the group wants to tackle it in that vein is up to the group. But the concept paper that was laid down in October sees it as a TLD voluntary verification program.
Okay.
Kurt, could you identify what is the procedure to pursue the argument that this whole working group is premature?
So to me, that's sort of a matter of semantics. Maybe it'd be better if I address the previous comment in that, we just want to make sure we have a good foundation under us as we proceed on the discussion. So as the discussion starts, we might find that certain aspects of this discussion are premature, that we need to take a step back and build a firmer foundation. But to me, we have to start somewhere. And I don't think this is breakage or time wasted at all because we haven't, thoroughly examined the public comment. We've read the public comment, and this whole discussion is born out of some very important stakeholder groups coming to ICANN as part of the new GTLD process and urging the exploration of this model. And, of course we can't do that. We are the big ICANN, all of us sitting around the table, can't do that without convening the experts in that area. So the fact that the groups convene doesn't foretell any conclusions. I think it's necessary in order to arrive at some preliminary direction so we can go forward. I don't know another way to pursue the next steps in this without a bunch of us sitting around the virtual table talking about it. I think that's the best way. I think it's much more effective than trading documents, and for me, who has a sense of urgency about this too, it's quicker, but I think it's more effective and more economical too to st- start discussing it at this stage.
So, Greg, we're right at the top of the hour.
Yep. So I think we're going to close this call. I appreciate everybody's willingness to both join the call and join the group at this point. I think there'll be some there will be some materials pushed to you over the holiday time frame, shooting towards the 6th January projected next call. I also think that the list may have some dialogue, particularly on the notion of who's volunteered to be co-chairs and a selection process for that. I'd like to try to pre-coordinate that, going into the 6th January call so we can accomplish that at the start of the 6th January call, as well as I imagine other issues will be raised on the mailing list that's been created for this. So with that, I'm going to call an end to the call and wish everybody a happy holiday season. And best wishes and take care.
Yes, thank you. Bye,
you
everybody.
Too. Bye. Bye.